Act 2, A Sphincter, Celebration for the Ages. At 11:27 a.m., Genevieve strode purposefully through the crowd toward the stadium's ticket window. She'd heard about this event last minute from her roommate, Gary, who was already inside waiting for the start of what she expected would be a unique and disturbing afternoon. No one knew what to expect from Dr. Guzman's sphincter celebration. Dr. Guzman herself was somewhat tight-lipped about the event. In an interview with the local TV station WKOW, she described the event as a celebration of an oft-maligned muscle, leaving many questions unanswered. Despite, or because of, the mystique, tens of thousands of expectant fans streamed into the stadium, filling the seats to near capacity hours before the spectacle was scheduled to begin. Genevieve picked up the ticket Gary had left her at will call and proceeded toward Section DD, where she found Gary, sipping on a protein shake. "Hiya, Gary," she greeted her roommate and collaborator. It had been 2 years since the night the air conspired. Much had changed for Genevieve and Gary. Inspired by the dimensional rifts caused by Gary's chili-induced flatulence, Genevieve started a podcast called Ambient Gut Noises that had, quite understandably, turned out to be a hit, with over 12,000 monthly listeners. AGN found a niche among both young and old alike, a rare beacon of unity in a world oft mired in conflict. Life was good for Genevieve and Gary. As they sat waiting for the show to begin, Genevieve turned her thoughts to the nagging weight in her stomach. Where did it come from? It seemed to writhe and pulsate, undulating with strange purpose she couldn't comprehend. At first, she thought it might be related to the slightly aged burrito she had consumed for lunch, but there was something in her gastrointestinal field that told her far greater forces were at play than mere food poisoning. "Gary, something about this doesn't feel right," she shouted into his ear as a local high school marching band pumped up the crowd with a rousing version of the Black Eyed Peas hit, "I've Got a Feeling." "What do you mean, Jen?" Gary replied, his brow furrowed. "Is that burrito giving you fits?" "No, it's not that," Genevieve declared. "I have this foreboding sense that we're going to want to keep our eyes open this afternoon. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't feel good about it." "Oh, come on," Gary scoffed incredulously. "Are you sure you're not upset because AGN's downloads for last month came in low?" "I don't think so," Genevieve insisted. "Just keep your eyes open and let me know if you see anything weird." "As you wish," Gary shrugged and continued his quest to down his 64-ounce protein shake, which smelled faintly of pinto beans. Genevieve took a deep breath and centered her focus on the smell, which comforted her. At 12:02 p.m., Dr. Guzman stepped up to a microphone that stood in the center of the field at the 50-yard line, where she waited until the stadium was completely silent. "Humans!" she shouted excitedly, then continued in a friendly tone, "Thank you for coming to this, the most epic of days. I hope you find it worth your time." She paused before continuing. "Why are we here?" "I will tell you, I have invented something new to recorded history. An organic sphincter, 9 meters in diameter, that is capable of launching legumes great distances. I have invited you here today to demonstrate, in a humorous and playful way, how my new technology works. I must be honest, I am having trouble identifying uses for Clyde here." She gestured vaguely at a giant tarp around the 30-yard line that appeared to be concealing something which was moving vigorously, undulating from side to side. "I am hoping that by demonstrating his capabilities to the hive mind, we can produce a use for this magnificent being, I want to turn this sphincter into an opportunity. In just a few minutes, I will head downstairs to Clyde's control room, where I will initiate his firing sequence to demonstrate the wonder of sphincter-powered legumes. As I do that, I want each of you to focus your attention on Clyde in action. Just soak it all in. The sights, the smells, the sounds, the vibrations. Take note of all of it. Be totally here. And we will see. Maybe, just maybe, an idea will pop up, or two, Dr. Guzman intoned excitedly. By 12:26 p.m., Dr. Guzman had hurried off to Clyde's control room to begin the celebration. Genevieve and Gary stood on their seats, looking around the stadium for clues as to what was causing their unease. Gary's initial skepticism at Genevieve's concerns had given way to deeply unsettled bowels that reminded him all too much of the night the air conspired. "I don't like this at all, Jen," Gary whimpered. "Let's just go home. At least there the raccoons can help us clean up the mess if things go haywire with my stomach." "I don't think that's the play here, Gary." Genevieve spoke with clear confidence. "You can go if you want to. It's probably the wise thing to do. I'm staying here. I have unfinished business here. The gas is back, or it's coming. I can feel it." "Damn, Jen, I didn't know you and the gas were that close," Gary reflected. "I noticed you changed after the night the air conspired. You were a super cool roommate before, but afterward, I don't know, I feel closer to you, so thanks. That's really nice." "Oh, Gary, that means so much." Genevieve beamed. "I've been meaning to tell you that I really enjoy living with you now. We've had some hard times, but here we are, living the dream, making a living off your bowels." Gary and Genevieve stopped scanning the stadium for danger and turned to look into each other's eyes, beaming with the joy of raw affection. At that moment, the tarp covering the writhing object vaporized in a powerful green explosion, revealing something that Genevieve had only believed could exist in Super Mario's universe. When erect, Clyde was as tall as it was wide, with a bulbous midsection that undulated vertically, responding, it seemed, to unseen impulses. At the top of the creature's writhing trunk body sat the sphincter, the grand daddy, the star of the show, absolutely mesmerizing and utterly grotesque. Genevieve could scarcely hold herself from vomiting when she first saw it. Gary instinctively looked away. "What are we going to do?" he asked softly. Genevieve put her hands on his shoulders, looked him in the eyes, and, in a voice that was low and urgent, said, "This is really bad. We need to get out of here. Nothing good can come from this. Nothing. Let's go now." Even as they began to wend their way out of the stadium, the sphincter coiled in anticipation of its debut. Genevieve was halfway to the aisle when he launched his first payload, a small bean the size of a football. The bean sailed lazily through the air, end over end. It easily passed through the goalposts and landed in the grass at the end of the field. Score! Meanwhile, Genevieve had collapsed at the exact moment of the launch. Gary rushed back and knelt beside her, taking her face in his hands gently. "Jen, can you hear me?" he asked softly. "Yes, I'm fine," Genevieve whispered. "I'm not allowed to fight in the battle, so they incapacitated my body until they could be sure I understand the arrangement." "What arrangement? What battle? Who are they?" Gary was so full of questions he thought he might explode. "I can explain later." Genevieve abruptly sat up, gazed piercingly into Gary's eyes yet again, and spoke urgently. "We need to let the raccoons know about this." They're the only ones I can think of who might be able to turn this thing off before it does unspeakable things." She abruptly stood up and began running down the aisle toward the exit. Gary tried to keep up. Back on the field, the sphincter was readying itself for episode 2. A pattern was emerging, where the bulbous region would descend and expand outward during the loading phase of the process. Upon firing, the bulb shot upward rapidly, and the great maw, as it seemed natural to call it, contracted open quickly and violently as a perfectly cooked, carefully seasoned bean was ejected from the orifice. Bean, too, was larger, about the size of a refrigerator. It moved much faster than Bean 1, easily clearing the goalposts, eventually smashing into an advertisement for Geico Insurance. Bean detritus showered in all directions. The air was pungent with the aroma of cumin and beans. Unsure of the sphincter's intentions, the energy of the crowd shifted from nervous excitement to one of desperate hope. They began to cheer for the sphincter, shouting, "All hail, Legume Lord!" over and over in hopes of garnering its blessing. Genevieve and Gary sprinted down a crowded stairway to ground level. The sphincter, pulsating and gyrating with an unholy fire, initiated its launch sequence yet a third time. Down in the control room, Dr. Guzman began to worry. The mass and velocity of that last launch were significantly greater than target. She intoned into her voice recorder, "Recommend reducing mass and velocity levels." At 12:57 p.m., the third bean launched with a terrible booming roar that rendered thought impossible. A bean the size of a blue whale blasted from the great maw with velocity that obliterated the goalposts, then shot out of the hole in the roof of the stadium and rocketed straight up at tremendous speed, propelled by some unseen force. In mere seconds, it had exited Earth's atmosphere. In minutes, it had accelerated to unfathomable speeds and become invisible to current technology. The whale bean had vanished into space. Gary and Genevieve, now in the parking lot searching for Section EE, stopped in amazement, eyes glued to the sky. "Did you see that?" Gary gasped, his voice filled with equal measures wonder and dread. "That bean just disappeared into space. That can't be good, can it?" "I did see that," Genevieve replied, her voice grim. "And no, it's not good. We've got to keep moving. Oh, look, there's my car." She ran over to a white Chevrolet Nova, built in 1985. Although 40 years old, it was maintained immaculately. "I've never been so glad to see Matilda," Gary exclaimed as he climbed in the driver's seat. "Let's get home to those raccoons." As Genevieve and Gary sped out of the stadium's parking lot, the whale bean continued its journey across space, time, and a couple other dimensions. This bean had a meeting with destiny. It bore a message. It is time.